sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's ore. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AM, the CE.
And this is the AD, the UB. You catch us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. Also, go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues. Download it. Subscribe to it. Rate it. Review it. Head on over to Spotify because we are there as well. Look for Control Issues. I hope you find it with ease. If not, stick with it. I believe in you. What else? Go on to X at my Control Issues. That's the handle. And what is it? controlissuespod@gmail.com. Drop us a line. twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. AMC, how are you living?
I'm in good, A-Dub. We missed a week. Your boy was feeling sick as a, you know, got kids. We're about 2 months into school now. Maybe 3 months. I think they started in August. But yeah, we're a couple months into school now. The illnesses, the bugs, they're starting to circulate, and now they're starting to make their way home. And yeah, both kids were sick about like 2 weeks ago. Eventually, that caught up with your boy. I had to take off last week because I could not breathe through my nose. And I was in the, on top of that, just like general fatigue. But yeah, not feeling well at all. So just needed a week to rest. But now I'm feeling great. Outside of that, not much else going on. Been watching basketball's back. So been watching that. The big thing as a Lakers fan is that LeBron James' son, Bronny James, got drafted by the Lakers in the offseason.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so this was technically they played together in the preseason, but you know, like those don't count. So now that the regular season, they officially have become the first father and son duo to lace them up together. And so yeah, it was great to see them come out on the court together. Not do much, but LeBron still killed it. And you know, he had that moment. It was great to see. They had the players mic'd up. They had LeBron mic'd up on the sideline, and you see him say to Bronny, like right before they're about to go in, he's like, you feel that intensity? He's like, all right, yeah, all right, now just play loose, don't think about it, just go out there and have fun. Giving him just that grown man, like something he would say to any other, you know, rookie. But it's just great to see a father saying that to, you know, his son as they're about to just not enter battle, but enter the fray, if you will. And so it was awesome. And outside of that, you know, I haven't been into football in the past decade at least, but I was always like a Steelers fan. So I kept up with the Steelers and, you know, I was just hearing some like interesting stuff. They got rid of their quarterback who I was kind of over. He had been there since like I was in high school, I think. And so he retired a few years ago, Ben Roethlisberger. And in that in-between period, you know, they didn't really have a successor to him. And so I kind of just stayed away. And then now they have a couple quarterbacks who are filling the spot that I actually like. And so through that, it got me to watch like my first football, like sit down and legitimately watch. Like I watched like a Super Bowl, I think, a couple years ago. It was the one where, you know, it was in L.A., Dr. Dre halftime show. It was the Rams, so I wanted to watch that one. But I haven't watched really any football in the past 10 years. And so I started watching it randomly just because I have YouTube TV and I can just be like, hey, record every Steelers game. And so I just saw that a couple were on my DVR, sat down, watched it, and I was enjoying football, A-Dub, surprisingly. It was awesome. So it was great to rekindle that old love that I had to see, I'm pretty much where I'm at is I'm just watching the Steelers. I'd gotten to a point where I was hate watching a lot of football because, certain people were winning all the time, Tom Brady, and I just couldn't stand Tom Brady. And so I was like, am I really gonna watch this thing and not like it'd be like people right now who play video games but don't like video games, like this is the worst generation ever, and yet they're always online playing video games. Like I didn't want to be that dude who was watching football and just hating, like this is the direction that the league is headed. So I literally just took a break, and all of it kind of lined up. I didn't like the Steelers quarterback, as I said earlier. So it's a good time to like just take a break from football, and to come back. He's now retired, and the Steelers quarterback and Tom Brady are retired. So just two things that I was just wasn't a fan of at that time, or two things that are gone from the league, and so it feels fresh. And I'm just enjoying the game. So it's nice to rekindle that love. Outside of that, I also watched just keeping up with Record of Ragnarok, going through it really slowly. I kind of just watch it when I have nothing else going on as far as like wrestling and all my other priority shows. So now I'm up at the Buddha. Buddha's having his battle, and Buddha is the
Yes.
shit. I absolutely
Buddha
love Buddha.
is some shit.
Yeah, it like it made me like I immediately went on like my Libby app and like put some books about Buddha on hold after I'm still in the middle of his fight, but it got me to want to read up on Buddha again. Like I haven't really done that since I think college, so it was great. So yeah, loving Wreck-It or Ragnarok. Life is good, A Dub. How you been? I know you had some things to celebrate over the past like week or so, and yeah,
Yeah,
other
man,
things going
had
on.
the birthday, hit the big 4-1, still here, still spinning, all good. Yeah, man, I had a pretty good day. Hung out with an old friend of mine. We went to the Peterson Automotive Museum, and then we went to my favorite restaurant in Silver Lake and Pine and Crane.
Yes.
So went over there. That was great. And overall, it was just a really good day. Gave her a gift because it was the day of her birthday, but and like I just took her there because she said she'd never been there. So that was a good day. Went out, had a drink or two, chatting it up with people. That's always fun. And just coming home, chilling, watching anime. I'm powering my way through JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Don't get me wrong,
Yes.
I'm having a blast and I'm just consuming it consistently. Like I'll just cut it on, and every time I'm like, okay, I'll get a game in after this episode, and then that cliffhanger hits and it's like, hold on, I gotta see what happens. So after this episode, and then that just keeps going on. But yeah, man, just staying up on my shows. I gotta check out that new Tomb Raider. I gotta finish Uzumaki, and I think I just hit the season finale of this current season of My Hero Academia. So we just have one more season to go next year. Very bittersweet. However, the stakes are incredibly high. Like that show is going harder than I ever thought possible. And I couldn't be more thrilled. Got myself a little Deku Nendoroid chilling on the shelf, the Swatchu or whatever it's called. So feel free to correct me, controlissuespod@gmail.com. Yeah, man, just getting ready to go to New York for the first time, hang out with Trues. So that's this coming weekend. Obviously, I won't be here. I'll be on the East Coast the whole weekend, so won't be an episode that week, unfortunately. But we should be back in the mix the following week, and I'm excited for that as much as I'm excited for this.
That being the gaming part of the show, A Dub. Now we're getting into the thick bit. How you been gaming? How's your gaming life been?
Getting into the nitty of the grit, my gaming life has been outstanding. And yeah, man, it's all thanks to Diablo, dude. Like I'll get to it in a second, because over the past couple of weeks, I know I did fool around in Shattered Space. Like I got to the Varun homeworld, and yeah, like I'm getting assimilated into all that. But then I went to Diablo, dude. And I was just like, man, the way that the grind is set up, and I'm just constantly being rewarded. Like I'm always, there's always another level to look forward to. There's always a drop to try to get. There's just always a different activity to engage with according to what it is you're going after. So that's been an outstanding loop for me. I completed every single aspect of the season journey, and that's a first. This character, I'm still on Torment 3, been doing a lot of the pit, upgrading my glyphs, just getting those incremental steps of power. Finally got some mythics to drop and finally integrating one into my build. So it's coming along. It's just every little piece just slowly falls into place. It makes everything that much more powerful. Like I'm starting to set my sights on Torment 4. And it's unfortunate I didn't stream when I got all the mythics, but I'll be doing some more streaming and you guys can check that out because I'm sure I'll be getting more. I kind of understand what I'm doing. Like I'm getting the tributes for the Cuirassed Undercity. I'm just running through Helltides like it's nobody's business. Like I'm gradually stepping away from Torment 3, but I'm not quite Torment 4 level. But in having accomplished so much, I did the same thing I did with my rogue. Like I set out some goals for my spirit born and was like, all right, you hit all your goals, premium skin. So yeah, I got the Monkey King looking outfit, or just like that one that has like the fur and the man, just so dope. And my character looking fresh. I'm having a blast, man. Diablo just never lets me down. It's easily one of my games of the generation. I can't wait for the possibility of playing Diablo 5, but for the time being, just thinking about where Diablo 4 can go from here just keeps my mind spinning. But yeah, that's about all I got into this week, gaming wise. AMC, what have you been playing?
Two games, that being Diablo 4, Spiritfarer, Diablo 4. Man, yeah, I am completely in the same boat as you. It's just, I cannot get enough of that game. Like, any moment I get free, like, Marissa's putting, like, we trade off putting the kids down for bed. If it's her night to put the kids down for bed, I'm like, all right, I got like a half hour. Hop on Diablo, do a quick run or something real quick, get a little experience, get some items. Yeah, do like a Codex of Power dungeon, get that shit real quick. Do a stronghold, anything. Yeah, just loving that because where I'd said left off last week is I had switched from the werewolf to the werebear, tried out the werebear for the first time, and completely just it, everything clicked for me. The big thing being the overpower, understanding that. Like once I got that going, and I was able to understand how to fully utilize it because the way the way the overpower works is it's technically only like you inherently so you have a 3% chance of getting overpowered damage no matter what. Like that's just built into your character. But then you can get certain skills that will activate overpowered damage every now and then. And so the werebear has a couple of those skills. And then on top of that, you can get certain items that will then build up overpowered damage over a certain amount of time. It typically runs around like 12 seconds to get that going. And so yeah, if you get about like so as of right now, I think I have three counters that are constantly counting to that 12 to then get the overpowered damage. And so if you time it right, if you're like I'm basically like I'm in the thick of a battle while glancing at that counter, not looking at my spirit, like how much spirit I've built up. It's always the counter because right when that comes, I hit my big attack is over as a pulverize. So pulverize will give overpowered damage, but if you do that, if you line it up correctly, then you can get the overpowered damage, and I have a legendary on top of that that puts out these, what you call them, blood orbs that explode. And so
Yes.
I'm lining that up, so it creates like a synergy of the attacks, which is I get the overpowered damage, which is just devastating as it is, and because of that, it generates a certain amount of blood orbs. So each enemy that's hit by it, the overpowered damage generates three blood orbs, I believe. And so, if it's a group of enemies, then they just litter the field. And then at that point, then I'm just trying to run through all of them because they're all exploding. It's just damage, 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 damage. And in the combination of all together, it's so devastating. So I'm just clearing. It's an easy way to clear out a group of enemies with the werebear. And then since I'm leaning into overpower damage, I put like was it rubies into my weapon, and that increases your overpower damage by 30%, or yeah,
Damn.
30%, I believe. And so I put that in my totem and my weapon, so that's 60 on top of that. And so yeah, like when I'm doing, the way it looks is I'm not really melting. It's just when I'm timing that overpower damage, I'm looking at the health of like say the bosses that I'm fighting, and it'll be like damage, 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 and then a chunk like health would just go, damage, 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 a chunk of health would just go. And
You
so you
see
just
that
see
blue
that.
number?
Yeah, and so you see that, and just see the health just dra like just dipping drastically, like as I lay the as I land those haymakers on him. And so it creates an interesting I guess momentum to the battle, because it's not just a constant overwhelming power, it's a build up and then a just devastating attack. So there's a lot of setup, like jab, 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 straight, and like fucking put them on their heels. And so yeah, I'm really liking that on with the werebear's style of attack. Got the rune words going. What I was telling you in the pre-show, one of the rune words I have going is that every time I get to, I think, 100 offering, it summons a spirit wolf. And so the thing that I'm using to feed that to build the offerings is anytime any skill I use generates a certain amount of offering, and that has a cooldown of like 0.25 seconds, so it's pretty quick. And so I'm just, as I'm doing attacks, it's just generating offer is generating that offering, and then just it'll summon a spirit wolf that's out there for 8 seconds. And so I'm like, I wasn't really paying attention when I went out to to give it a test run. It's like one of my favorite parts of the game is once you get like a certain thing, you work it into your build, and you just like run outside of town real quick to just give it a little test to see how it works. And yeah, I just ran through a horde of enemies, and I look and I just have, I think it was five wolves out at one time. So I'm like, oh shit, like I can just build up my army. So I have that going. I was clearing, I finished the Vessel of Hatred campaign, which I absolutely love. Love the story, love what they're doing with Mephisto, and the way it ends, won't get into spoilers, but the way it ends, it would indicate that they have more plans as far as like story stuff to tell with Diablo. So that's exciting to know that we're likely going to get another expansion coming down the line. So I loved what they did with Lilith, and then that transition to Mephisto and what he has planned. And what I like about that too is, and then bigger picture wise, is he just keeps saying like, look, you need to work with me, because my brothers are coming and they're not going to want to work with you at all. He gets like just setting up that like when we get Diablo 5 and we got fucking either Diablo back or Bale, who knows, like that shit is going to be nuts, or maybe both of them back. Like I like that they're kind of setting up that bigger narrative while also setting up this narrative with Mephisto that's currently going on. So it's awesome. Really enjoyed that story. Went tried to do the Undercity. Did not work out for me that first. I think I gave it like two runs, and I was like, yeah, my build is just not where I need it to be for this, because it's time based. And so I went out, did some strongholds, and then I started focusing on just doing the Druid Codex of Powers that feed into the Werebear. And so I got all the right Codex of Powers that I need for to really have an official Werebear build. After that, focus on getting all my getting legendaries and all my slots that I can then start really putting the code, imprinting those aspects on there, the Codex of Power aspects on there. And once I got that, then I had my true Werebear build. Through that, I was able to get that ability that basically transforms my wolf companions into werewolf companions. So now I got the
Yes.
werebear with the werewolves. I got another codex that adds that increases the number of companions that I can have. So now I have three werewolves rolling with me. And then yeah, and I have like stuff that feeds into their companion skills, like their attack. So they're devastating on their own. So I get that pack leader feel with the werebear, while also just enjoying what I have going on there. But that's where I left off, getting all the Codex of Powers going and all the werewolf stuff. So now I can really go out into the world and start really focus on grinding up leveling, because I'm right there. I think I'm at like 58, 59. So I'm about to get into the Paragon board. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that going now with the glyphs and all that stuff again. And really want to focus on doing the seasonal stuff. So get that Realm Walker. yada yada yada. So yeah, this
What
is,
level are you?
I said, map 59. So
Oh, you're right
yeah, so
there.
Paragon starts at 60. So once I get that going, that's it's just another level of the game. It's like it's great, like the different phases of Diablo, which is like unlocking skills to then have all your like to kind of get a feel for your build, and then getting the Codex of Powers to line up with that build to really know your build, and then you get the Paragon board. So it's like it's just all these things like are just constantly feeding into like getting a feel for your character and like how you want your build to work. Like I'm loving that whole process. And just the way that they have Diablo 4 set up, it's nice because like I just know that I can do all these different things to, you know, to gain materials or to work on different aspects of like of the build. Everything is in service of the build and your vision for it. Just me wanting that ultimate just werebear is like the ideal here. And so yeah, it's very fun. It's all consuming Diablo 4. It's Man, it's definitely the game of the generation right now for me. I know a lot of people said it was Elden Ring, but Diablo 4 is just getting me in a way that no game has gotten me up until this point, as far as just the addiction and like
Yeah.
the under like the willingness to just want to understand everything about the game. It's cool. Like I'm watching videos, getting other people's philosophy on it, some of their bullshit, but also
Yep.
some of their good recommendations. And yeah, I'm like all over this game. Other game I've been playing, Spiritfarer. That's the girlfriend game. It's great. It's like a cozy management game is how it's the if you want to say the word salad of that game to describe it. It literally says cozy word management or cozy management game. But it's great. Yeah, I got my boat. You're basically like the new Charon, and you're fucking picking up spirits, doing missions with them. And then I just took my first one to whatever it is, like the reverse sticks to like you know cross over into the other plane, which is great because you give them they all have like their own I guess issues, and as you're doing their missions you're helping them you know kind of let go of this plane by giving them closure on whatever hangups they might have had as they passed away. And so that it's cool. Like there's a lot of it feels like what was that one game where you're climbing the ice, whatever it is, where you're climbing up the mountain. But yeah, it's like you're dealing with stuff. It definitely felt like a Games for Impact like nominee. I hope it won if it was in there. But it's also just a great management game because we're so you know you start out with the boat and the first thing when you started getting spirits, you got to build like a little house for them on the boat. But then
That's
you got to
dope.
feed, yeah, you got to feed them, and so you get like a little garden. I got an orchard now where I can grow trees. I can get like fruit also on top of like the veggies. I also started just getting elite livestock as far as getting. I have sheep, so I can shear them, get the wool, use that to build fabric, and then that goes into certain materials. And then on top of that, you have a kitchen, so you need that's what you need like the ingredients for. You cook, you get recipes, and then the people, so you're kind of managing their happiness, if you will, based on like some of their requests and also like feeding them. And what's cool is each character has their preferences as far as food. Like some people like plain food, some people like exotic food, some people like fine dining, yada yada, comfort food. And so you kind of have to have a little bit of everything ready to go at all times for their requests. And they don't like to eat anything. They don't like to eat the same thing back to back. So you have to have a variety of like the different types of foods for like the character's preferences. So it's pretty cool to like really get into the recipes, the different combinations, learning those to then really expand my options for them. So yeah, feels like a great sim game from that perspective while also having a really good narrative. Like some of these sim games don't really have great narratives. Like they really focus on just the building up. It's typically a farm, building up of your farm. But this one has like a really interesting aspect as far as your role within that world and how those characters relate to the world and to you as you push them, you know, over to the next plane. So really enjoying Spiritfarer. Marissa loves it, and yeah, can't say anything else about that. A Dub, Do you want to get into these topics of the week?
Topics of the week. Don't mind if I do, AMC. So let me look through my smorgasbord here. Oh, I meant to tell you about that, and we didn't get to watch it. Apparently, there was a the first ever Fallout Day broadcast that Bethesda had, and it revealed some details about the ghoul gameplay for Fallout 76, having pets at the camp. Apparently, fishing is being teased, but we didn't get to look into that. So I'm gonna get to the first topic, which is the big deal that happened between this episode and the previous episode. Xbox had their partner preview showcase, and we're gonna talk about what they showcased. Cased, cased, cased. Yes. So, typical format, we'll just highlight some of the things that caught our eye. I shall lead off. First game that caught my eyes coming from an apparently an unlikely source. Bloober Team has revealed their new IP that they're working on in the name of Chronos, The New Dawn. So this is coming on the heels of the success of the Silent Hill 2 remake. It's a sci-fi horror game. It gives off kind of a vibe at the intersection of Dead Space and BioShock. If I had to propose two endpoints for you to think about, let me see. IGN says we got a trailer for the upcoming game that features a BioShock-like person. This game is coming in 2025 for PC and Xbox. I mean, visually, it looks outstanding. I mean, we retreated to what is largely a cutscene of what I'm guessing is the main character exploring a derelict home, chasing an incredibly deformed human being and dispensing with it judiciously with his firearm. Also, going back and forth between scenes of him playing chess with an older woman, and things just get a little creepy from there. But, there's still a lot of questions to be asked. At the very end, we got to see a little bit of what looked like, in engine or perhaps in-game footage where the character was walking and looking around at the environment as some, random supernatural kind of events begin to occur. I mean, the game, it looks the part. I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on it because this is the kind of game that is right up my alley. I don't know too much about Bloober Team, but even if I did, I'm not the kind of person that's going to gauge my hype based on what I think of the developer. The game itself looks cool. So if they stick the landing, I will definitely stick around for it. So I'll be keeping an eye on it. AMC, how did you feel about Chronos, The New Dawn?
Yeah, it looks interesting. Not my style of game, if you know what I mean, but
I know what you mean.
I do like that. It seems like we're not in a renaissance, because I feel like everything's in a renaissance right now. Like between turn-based games, you got just Metaphor that just came out recently. There's some great first-person shooters, and I like that. It seems like we're getting like a steady stream of like horror or at least like thriller style games between like Alan Wake, which we saw a little bit in as far as the DLC in this showcase. But yeah, like Dead Space, we got the remake recently. There was what was it, the Callisto Protocol, and Silent Hill 2 by your boys and remake. And yeah, and then getting this game, it feels like there's at least that genre is getting its love right now, and this game looked interesting, and the fact that it does look kind of like a shooter, like his gun even kind of looked like I didn't he didn't use it, but just the style of it, like almost his gamey vibes of like Dead Space, just the way he looked and his weapon and everything. So I'm interested to see once we get to see the idea of what that combat will be like, if it's like a survival horror style of game, how that's gonna work. But yeah, just vibes and looks, it did look interesting, and heard so much, like I heard a lot of great things as far as their work on the remake of Silent Hill. So that's it's a good sign for now them coming into what looks like a new property. And so I'm interested. Hopefully this will be their work on Silent Hill will be a good sign for like what this game has to offer and a possibility of what Konami is trying to build right now. 'Cause I know a lot of people wrote off Konami after Kojima left, as that they were done as a publisher. They don't care about video games anymore. All they care about are pachinko machines, yada yada yada. But it seems like, at least from a publishing standpoint, they are working with this development team, and then they have what, Metal Gear Delta coming out. So that's a good sign for at least all those properties that they have locked up. A possibility of getting like a new Castlevania game down the line would be absolutely be awesome. And so yeah, that is good to see that they are active still within the gaming space, because I know a lot of people had written off Konami and anything that they were involved with up until this point.
Amazing.
Yes. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break and we can continue. But this one, we've seen it before, but we got to see a little bit more of the action. And so it just caught my eye a little bit. I don't know if I definitely won't be getting this game, but it was fun to see this being Mouse PI for Hire, a dub.
Yes.
This write-up coming from IGN with a cartoony style that looks a lot like a mix between old Mickey Mouse cartoons and Cuphead. Mouse PI for Hire is surprisingly a first-person shooter. The new game is coming to Xbox Series X and S and PC sometime in 2025. Five, five. Yeah, the only thing I'll say right here that looked interesting is because, I think when we originally saw the game, we kind of just saw, a look at the world and the character moving through the world. But this one was like a straight up action trailer, and it just gave me vibes of like, the old Doom games, which, just also reminded me of like, oh yeah, we just had what, Warhammer Bolt Gun recently, and with the current Doom games. So it's like we are getting that first person, that the first person where it's like a frenetic shooter. We're getting that love is here as well. Like, as I said, it's like everything's in a renaissance right now. Like, we're getting, if there's something good, we're getting the clones, and like they're not coming out too soon after, the ones that brought it back on the scene. And so yeah, it's really cool to see at least this game take that standpoint, because it does have a cool look. It has an interesting look. There's also, it's funny, they do say it's like Mickey Mouse vibes, and I just wonder too if like a lot of people were just like, right when that patent comes up, I am dipping heavily into old school Mickey Mouse like inspiration. And so yeah, it's nice that like a game like this can come out and avoid the patent strikes and all that stuff. So or the copyright strikes. So yeah, it's fun, it's great, it looks interesting. I'm glad it's, I like that it is like that style of first person shooter. And yeah, it'll be cool to, if it does come out and all of a sudden you start to hear like a buzz around the game, that would be nice, because then that might be something that I would consider checking out. Do you have anything on this, A-Dub, or do you want to take a quick break and we will continue our discussion of the partner preview?
There's just something about those smooth 2D graphics, man. But let's take that break and I'll get back to it.
All right, A-Dub, we are back. You want to continue with the next game in the Xbox partner preview that you would like to highlight?
The next game in the Xbox preview. I mean, I really didn't say what I wanted to about Mouse, but
Oh, yeah, we
guys,
can continue that.
I don't know. There's just that charm of the 2D visuals with that rock solid frame rate. Like you're moving through this, like it's a 3D space, but you're surrounded by like what basically amounts to like cardboard cutouts, but you move around them and it's not like they get flat or anything. Or maybe I need to look at it again because I'm probably thinking of Doom or Wolfenstein. But I don't know, like that's very charming. I find it hilarious that this game was announced in a major fashion the moment the what is it, the copyright expired. So, they clearly have been working on this and it shows because they got it's a lot of character, it's a lot of charm. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out. So, yeah. Color me supportive of Mouse PI for Hire, which is coming out next year, so looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But getting to the next game of the show, game of
Game
the
of the
show,
show.
we got to see a brand new look at a personal favorite of mine from shows past over the years, Wushang Fallen Feathers, which is coming 2025. This new trailer we got showcased a great deal of the game that we haven't seen before. I mean, in the initial reveal, we saw the main character, a very tall woman of Chinese or other Asian country descent. So don't come hunting for me. I'm trying to be as vague as possible. But yeah, she's doing her thing. Souls-like has a pretty unique look to it. Has definitely captures the darkness and the foreboding nature of the worlds of the Souls genre. Has an interesting combat system. But we get to this new look, and now we're seeing more outfits. We're seeing different gameplay styles. We're seeing different move sets, and we're seeing all the kind of things that flesh out a robust Souls-like experience to where people will be able to customize their character and their play style to whatever suits their specific needs. So I already see a lot of cool moves and things. You know, one minute she's throwing like all these purple shadow energies, and then another minute she's calling down the yellow healing energies, and then she's got the red like fire blood energies. I don't know what's going on, but it's all kinds of different things. Wushang Fallen Feathers is looking more like a game that's ready to be consumed than a concept up until this point. So I'm very excited for it. I've been keeping an eye on this one for a good while. AMC, how do you feel about Wushang Fallen Feathers?
Yeah, no, it looks good. The big thing here is like, all right, Xbox seems to be doing a good job of like, all right, we missed the boat on this, so we'll make it up here, kind of thing. And a lot of people were critical, even though I think one of the so there, I guess Wukong got like
Yes.
ESRB rated for the Xbox. People were like, it's coming, it's finally coming. Whenever those things go up, people are like, it's coming. And so yeah, like there is a there is a oh we missed this one. And so yeah, like knowing that this one is coming to Game Pass, and they've already wifed it up, as far as making sure it's gonna be there, it shows that they're listening, and they're making sure that they don't miss out on these games. Because if anything, that's a good stamp of approval for what Chinese developers, I believe it was a Chinese developer, have to offer. Because when we first saw what Wukong, people were calling it like a glorified tech demo. It's
Yeah,
a vaporware. All these games were vaporware
vaporware.
that are coming from this region of the country.
It's never
Wukong
coming
comes
out.
up. Yeah, Wukong shows up. People are like, oh shit, this is amazing. And so now anything coming, now other games we have to get our hands on. And so this one seems to be a good follow-up. And yeah, the main character looked cool, had all the great tones and vibes, and the action looked great. And so yeah, I am looking forward to this one, to at least seeing more from this game, because we're gonna have plenty of these style of games coming in the future. And so just to see the different styles and what they will have to offer will be pretty cool. But that's all I have to say for that game, Ado.
Yes. You got another game that caught your eye?
Yeah, but my phone is acting weird right now.
Got the internet going nuts.
Yeah, the internet going nuts. Hold on. Let me just turn off my there. Why, like IGN be like, this shit like is always just reloading so they can get them ads on you. So you gotta like turn off your Wi-Fi just to be able to read an article. So yeah, this one being just out of interest, because I never played Control. But we got our first gameplay reveal, a dub of the Control multiplayer game.
Yes,
That
we did.
being FBC Firebreak. Break,
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 break.
break. Let's see. Remedy's new multiplayer game set in the Control universe has been fully revealed for the first time under the name FBC Firebreak. Billed as a three-player co-op experience, it features a more colorful take on Remedy's popular universe. The first gameplay trailer shows three characters in environmental suits battling a variety of enemies in fast-paced first-person gameplay. There's also a garden gnome. Is there anything else I want to read from here? No. So yeah, it's a oh, they made a point to say that it's not DLC and it's not a sequel to Control. It's its own thing. So it's kind of cool, especially on the heels of not really on the heels, but I guess on the heels of what was it, The Last of Us Factions. Not coming out. We do get to see at least a game that people liked and that was going to get mul a multiplayer look actually come out. So we're gonna kind of see how people respond to this one. There's an, I didn't play Control, even though I do want to play Control. This one doesn't have my interest. But A-Dub, as a person who played Control, where are you at with this game?
You know, I'm in a little bit of a better place than I was When I initially saw it, I watched the show myself, and then we watched it over together. The second time I saw it, I was able to appreciate quite a bit more of what FBC Firebreak seems to be doing. Like, just on the surface, on paper, I'm not really into the idea of a first person cooperative or otherwise online game set in that universe. I'd rather just have Control 2 or some kind of spin-off or some kind of expansions beyond what's already been released, such as what Alan Wake 2 has been getting with all its tie-ins with the Control universe. Well, they're the same universe, but all its tie-ins with Control. So I would just want the franchise spun out a bit more. However, looking at it visually outstanding. It looks engaging. It captures the uniqueness and the strangeness of the Control universe while putting it in the shoes of a first-person shooter, which I think is very cool. So surprisingly, I'm going to be keeping my eye on this one just to see how it turns out. I don't know if I'm going to be jumping into it. However, I have that safety net of landing in the world of Control. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to see anything Control related do well, but at the same token, I don't want to support things that maybe I don't want to see. But because it's Control, I'll at least give it the benefit of the doubt and give it a fair chance instead of just writing it off or complaining about it. So, I'm not particularly looking forward to it, but I am interested in seeing how this comes together, as well as if I'm going to be diving in. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't played Control yet, so that just shows like technically my not I wouldn't say interest, but how I am prioritizing, just that universe. Because Control looked great. It's just I haven't
It's
really
phenomenal.
yeah, it's just I haven't really like had that, I haven't really been inspired to necessarily play it over, something else that's offered at the time when I get a free moment to play a new game. And so yeah, this is definitely not gonna be the first my entry point into that universe, this multiplayer game. But yeah, I mean, I in general, I would like to believe that there's something for everybody out there, and so maybe they are servicing like a certain group that like the Control universe, but wanna explore it through a different, I guess, perspective. And I like when games do that, where it's like you don't necessarily have to use all the same characters to live within that world and to find out more about it. And so yeah, if they can like work in some of the lore of Control of that universe, while also, giving a good multiplayer experience, like that seems to be, if anything, what I will say is these three player co-op multiplayer games seem to be pretty popular right now between what was it? What, Revenant? That was a game you played last year.
All Remnant
Revenant.
Two.
Yeah, Remnant 2, and then Space Marine 2 obviously has a three-player co-op feature that people love. Destiny, obviously, I guess, kind of an originator with that. And then yeah, and then now we're seeing and now we're seeing it with Control, the three-player co-op. So there is, I don't know if it's considered a genre, but it is, it seems to be a thing, I will say, the three-player co-op situation, where I guess it's not as scummy as like the what we view as the scummy multiplayer games. I guess three-player co-op is still considered a single-player experience in some ways. Or just
It's
at a
become a new staple,
yeah,
let's
that's what
say.
we'll say. Yeah, that's what we'll say. And so yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people enjoy this one. But yeah, this is definitely not at all on my priority list. If it comes out and it's like, hey, you got to do this, maybe. Helldivers, how many people can you get in Helldivers? Is that three players or is that more?
You can get four.
Okay, so yeah, no. So yeah, that yeah, we'll see if this one ends up hitting the mark. Was there anything else from this partner preview A-Dub that you would like to highlight?
Is there anything else? Well, apparently, Animal Well is now available on Xbox, so spread the word there. And
Look
then
great.
I guess just an honorable mention, because I'd feel bad if I didn't say anything about this game. The Legend of Babu announced for 2025. This is the game where you have the big ass white dog, and you ride
Oh,
the
yeah,
dog.
that
It
shit was
looks
crazy.
kind of like Kenno Bridge of Spirits, but
Yeah.
with I don't know. I kind of like the way the combat and the gameplay looked. It looked like an awesome kind of just adventure platforming kind of game where you're riding a big ass dog and the dog helps you in combat. So, I'm always partial to these kind of, just kind of under the radar, just like we just want to be a game kind of games. And this looks like that. So I'm gonna be keeping an eye on Legend of Baboo. AMC, how did you feel about it?
I was the same. Like it's looked cool. I like the tone. I like the dog. I like that stuff going on. And yeah, as you said, like it kind of gave the vibes of was it Kena, and even like that one game that came out. I'm not even gonna try to figure out the name of it, but it's kind of like that where you're in the world, kind of like Breath of Wild style. This one obviously has some. I will say the action in this one looked a little more interesting than some of the other games that maybe have this vibe. But that was the most I will say about that. It wasn't necessarily one that leapt off the page for me, but I liked what they had going on, and especially with the big ass dog companion. Give me a big ass dog companion. I'm always interested in that.
Just why are dog companions not a thing? Like we have whiny children companions instead of like dope ass dog companions. We've already laid that groundwork. Like there's D-Dog and Phantom Pain. You got a dog in Final Fantasy 16. You got a dog in Far Cry 5. You got a dog in what is it? Fallout 3, New Vegas. Think Fallout 4 as well. So, a lot of dogs. Give us more games with dogs.
Shyamada.
That's that dog in me.
Yeah.
Why is that coming back?
They got that dog,
I got
the
that
best
dog
is
in
like
me.
I like the meme where it's like the x-ray and then like you see the dog inside the x-ray of like the human sternum. He's like, yeah,
That's hilarious.
you got that
The doctor told me I got that
dog. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, we got some folks who got
Yeah,
something in
they got that bullshit
them.
in
It ain't
them.
that dog. They got
The
that nonsense. We got troll of the week,
week,
troll of the
troll of
week,
the week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of
week,
the week,
troll of the
troll of
week,
the
week,
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 week, week,
week,
week,
week.
week.
Yes, troll of the week. So clearly they're coming sideways at the Xbox Partner Game Showcase, games partner, Xbox partners, whatever it's called. First troll says Xbox Game Showcases are the greatest insomnia cure in existence. Without fail, they put me immediately to sleep. Next troll says, I don't always watch Xbox Showcase, but when I do, I'm always disappointed. Next troll says, oh, look, more weird indie and Japanese games no one will play.
So
And the last,
Chinese games or Japanese games now, or just
yeah,
they singling out
it's all one
it's all
thing.
Japan. All
Yeah. So
right.
China has that stigma to overcome. And
Yeah.
last troll says, underwhelming as usual. It's like all big three just stopped trying. I don't know what to do with that, AMC. I don't know what to do with that, man. All big three have stopped trying. Nothing but new IPs, new ideas, new regions, new talent, new third-party deals, just everything new, just new games, new development, new engines.
It's
What do you
funny
mean
too,
they
is like.
stopped trying?
And like when games don't do well, people, or just in general, people are always complaining about the lack of marketing behind games, yada yada. But then when we get these like third party partner previews, people are like, why are you showing me things that aren't first party? I don't care about anything that's not first party. Like it's weird that people get so upset when, Sony or Xbox has a showcase of anything that's not first party. But yet, like they always complain, like, oh, games aren't marketed enough. Like they need to really be out there so that they'll sell well, blah, blah, blah. But they don't want to hear about them. It's complete bullshit.
It's always something.
Yeah.
It never ceases. But we just watched the partner showcase and like this is just third party stuff. They still
Yeah.
have first party stuff under wraps. There's still a whole slate of things to come. There's always something to think about. There's going to be more to enjoy. So these are just little stops along the road to prosperity. So just gaze out the window or go to sleep and shut your bitch ass up. We got Troll of the Week.
Troll of the Week.
Troll of the Week.
Troll of the Week.
Troll of the Week. Troll of the Week.
All right, A-Dub, we have in the next topic of the week.
Topic of the week?
We have Circana's collection.
Oh, wow.
The top 20 best-selling games of September. Yeah, we had August, the last time I recorded, September. So they kind of banged this one out relatively quickly. Let's see. So for September 2024, A-Dub, you know what? I'm gonna ask you every now and then. I like to ask you where you think certain things will place. I'm gonna read out the top 20 best-selling games of the month of September. This was a month that debuted with EA Sports FC 25, Astrobot, some notables, and Space Marine 2. So, let's see, between Astrobot and Space Marine 2, which one do you think sold more?
Astrobot.
Okay, and then, you know, people loved Space Marine 2 when it came out. Where would you guess it placed in the top 20 in its debut month?
In its debut month?
Yeah, it debuted in September.
Number 3.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. So the top 20 best-selling games for September in the U.S. A-Dub.
Here we go.
Number 1, a new game. EA Sports FC 25. Some people want that soccer more than anything. At number 2, A-Dub, you were right. Astrobot showing up at the number 2 spot.
That's right.
At the number 3 spot, A-Dub, Madden NFL 25.
Damn.
Oh, there's another game that I left off, but here we go. At the number 4 spot, A-Dub, Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom.
That makes sense.
Space Marine 2 still not showing up. All right, number 5, EA Sports College Football 25.
God damn. Did all of them come out in September?
No, Madden had been out. Madden was in the... Oh, EA... So, Madden was number 1 last month, and EA Sports College Football 25 was number 2 last month. So, those games got knocked down by football and Astrobot. Let's see, at the number 6 spot, A-Dub, not Space Marine 2, but Star Wars Outlaws.
What?
So still outselling in its second month, outselling Space Marine 2.
I mean, nobody wanted it. Didn't it come out like the last day of August?
Yeah, but in August it was number 3. So it fell down to number 6. So it debuted at a higher spot for August, even though
it came out August 27th.
Yeah.
It cleared the top 10 in 4 days.
Yeah. So let's see. And then, yeah, so number 6, people were still buying it. Obviously, that doesn't mean that the game necessarily sold well per Ubisoft standards. But it did, in its second month, outsell Space Marine 2. Let's see. Number 7, new game, A-Dub, NBA 2K25. So, damn, 2K25. Well, it got knocked down by all these games. 2K25 typically sells really well, but I guess there's a lot of competition in this month. Number 8, old game, Hogwarts Legacy. Number 9, new game, NHL 25. We still haven't gotten to Space Marine 2. Number 10,
God of War. Wow.
Yeah. Number 10, God of War Ragnarok. 11, Dead Rising. People are back into Dead Rising. 12.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 16, 13, Elden Ring, 14, Minecraft, 15, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I think it's a, might be 3, maybe 4, and then, let me zoom in a minute. Yeah,
zoom in, it's a tiny print.
And then number 16, another new game, Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics, 17, Asia Mythology, 18, here we go, Space Marine 2 Warhammer.
Oh man, what? And it came out in September?
Yeah, it came out in September. I don't know when it came out in September, so maybe you could give it that benefit of the doubt. But for a game that, I mean, I love Space Marine 2, but it was a game that everybody was like, this is a great game, yada, yada, yada. And maybe
maybe it's a lot of digital. Maybe they're not counting digital.
I they let's see. Okay, yeah, okay. So maybe they aren't counting digital. We shall see. It does say it doesn't count digital of certain marked titles. So maybe that's the big difference. 19, Ghost of Tsushima, and 20, EA Sports MVP bundle. Let's see a little bit of details from your boy Matt Piscatella. EA Sports FC 25 was September's best-selling video game and track spending with double-digit percentage growth compared to EA Sports FC 24 during its September 2023 launch month. So more people are into soccer. Let's see, EA Sports FC 25 reached the highest US launch month dollar sales of any soccer game released to date. I guess good note there is that, there was a lot of big speculation that losing, what was it? Whatever the game was called
The
before.
FIFA license.
Yeah, the FIFA licensing with like
We don't even
allowing them.
remember what they're called anymore.
Yeah. That losing the FIFA licensing would somehow affect the sales of this game, and apparently it's only gaining momentum since then. So the strength of the FC, the EA brand, able to hold on and maybe just showing, hey, we don't need your bullshit name. We're not to pay this like lofty fee just to get your name on this game. We can do plenty. Let's
Maybe
see.
people
So
like EA more than they like soccer.
oh, yeah,
No.
maybe. Let's see. So now we have the we'll do yeah, whatever. Do top 20. Top 20 of the best-selling games year to date. Number one, EA Sports College Football 25, the number one best-selling game of the year. Number two, A
Damn.
Dub, Live Service Trash, Helldivers 2, still holding on to that number two
Holding
spot.
there.
Yeah. Publisher Sony Corp, what you know about that? Let's see, number three. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I'm still reading these like notches. I hope it's three and it's not four. Four, EA Sports MVP bundle. Five, Elden Ring. That tail one. Let's see.
Like
Six.
20 million plus.
Yeah. Six, Dragon's Dogma 2. Seven, Madden NFL 25. Eight, MLB The Show 24. Nine, WWE 2K24. Let's see, 10. So in its launch month, it was able to debut in the 10th spot, that being EA Sports FC 25. So definitely hit it pretty, showed up pretty strong. Let's see, 11, Hogwarts Legacy, 12, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Tekken 8, NBA 2K24, Grand Theft Auto 5, Madden NFL 24, Minecraft still holding on within the top 10 at least, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League at 18.
Wow.
19, EA Sports FC 24. So EA Sports FC has two games within the top 20 best-selling games of the year. And then 20 is Persona 3 Reload. So yeah. Let's see. So yeah. So that at least that it does show within 2 months, Star Wars Outlaws hasn't cracked the top 20, but it is a fairly new game. Let's see. So a little more details. This one a little more spicier, A Dub. Let's see. September video game hardware spending fell 44%. That's like a trend that's been going on through the year when compared to a year ago at 251 million bucks. This is the lowest monthly hardware spend total for a September month since 2019. Which, we shall see. We are seeing that there's a dramatic drop off with the hardware spending, and so we shall see when PlayStation drops that PS PlayStation 5 Pro. I believe in November, right? Or is it December?
November.
We'll see if there's a market for that will pick up some of the slack on the hardware sales. PlayStation 5 again led the month's hardware unit and hardware market in dollar sales, with Xbox Series ranking two in dollars and Nintendo Switch in units sold. A little bit more details on individual consoles. Xbox Series X consoles comprise 58% total Xbox Series units sold in September and account
Nice.
for the majority of Xbox Series units sold life to date at 51%. So officially, the Xbox Series X is the majority console on the market, but 51%. So, I mean, you're not really leaving behind the Series S at any point soon. This one, a little more spicier, A-Dub. 40% of total PlayStation 5 hardware unit sales in September came from digital PS5 consoles.
Oh.
However, digital consoles only comprise 18% of total life-to-date unit sales of the PlayStation 5 hardware. So
That's
basically,
interesting.
80% of PlayStation 5s in the wild all have a
The
drive,
disk drive.
the disk drive. Let's see. The PlayStation Portal was the best-selling accessory in dollar sales for both September and 2024 year to date. 3% of PlayStation 5 owners have purchased a PlayStation Portal to date. So I guess the
30%? Damn.
3%.
Oh,
So
three. Sorry, I was saying
yeah, three.
30. I was
Yeah, that would
wondering,
have been
shit.
insane. Yeah, that would be a sign that the PlayStation community is ready for hardware, for
That
handheld
handheld.
devices. But
That Vita too.
yeah, I guess if you wanted to comment on anything, do you have any, as far as the majority of consoles having a disk drive, 82% of PlayStation 5 owners have a disk drive on their console. But yet, there's always that idea that the push is going towards digital. How would you see that? How would you explain that from your perspective?
They probably made more disc versions at the outset because I remember like there was even people trying to push the idea that the digital version didn't exist even though you had one. They were trying to push that narrative like, oh, they said they make it. They said they made it, but really they didn't make it. They don't want to cut into their disc sales. So, I don't know. It could have just been a production thing. They make more money on the more expensive one, or at least that's a greater hit that's a greater boost to revenue, getting that extra 100 or so bucks per unit sold. But we see where things are going with digital versus physical, digital just continually taking up more of the market share insofar as sales, software sales. So, it's coming. So if you're attached to your disc-based gaming, hold on, because you probably have maybe one more generation left before disc versions of consoles are collector's items that are sold at an even higher price. Like the 30th edition PlayStation is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to the disc version of the PlayStation 7. That they only make like 1500 or 15,000, 10,000. They only make 10,000 of that. So, and then you get all the little weird, oh, we made this on a disc, ironically, like that kind of stuff that's eventually going to happen.
Yeah,
But I don't
records.
know. I don't know who can tell the future, but we know that there's a move toward digital. And with digital consoles being that 18, close to 20% of the current market share, I would just have to wait and see how that changes over the coming months as we get closer and closer to like the real meat of the generation. So I imagine we're going to see a lot more console sales over the next coming year, over the next couple of years, especially with GTA 5 looming. I'm sure that's going to move a lot of people to go to stores and finally upgrade to the current gen. So we just got to see where the trend is the convenience of digital going to outweigh the cost savings and quote unquote ownership of physical. So yeah, I don't know. So I'm very eager to see. I don't want to mislead anybody, but at the same token, writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I would agree. It's interesting, like because I get it from a standpoint, definitely if backwards compatibility wise, if people, they want to play their old PS4 games and that's why they're getting it. And yeah, I know people were very critical of the PS5, having it sold separately, the disc drive. But yeah, maybe that is like a sign that PlayStation is, people viewed it as nickel and diming, and maybe they were, but I like it could be also the viewpoint, as you're saying, PlayStation is viewing the disc drive as more of an enthusiast type of thing. Like whether you're a games preservationist and so you need to buy everything just in case they all go away one day, or it's just the idea that, like, there's a certain segment of the community that has a big physical drive, at least in their in their back catalog or on old hardware, and so they're gonna always do that. But as you have more people come into the console space, that's more people that aren't gonna be beholden to old games on old games that require a disc. And so yeah, maybe that's their view, is that for the people who are still holding on to that, we'll give it to them separately, but moving forward, we're kind of leaning into this digital thing. So we shall see. But yeah, that was an interesting note that there were so many disk drives out there, at least in the world, for the PS5. So we shall see how the sales go, because I guess now it will be considered an accessory, the disk drive with the PS5. So maybe we'll start seeing that show up as the best-selling accessory, like year to date, once those start hitting the market from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
But yeah,
it's
that's all I
already
got.
uncoupled from the console. It's only just a matter of time until it's like, yeah, we don't make that anymore.
Yeah, you gotta go to like some third party dude for that.
Yeah, get your D brand or your SCUF PS8 optical drive.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got there, A-Dub. Let's take a quick break and we will come back with more topics of the week.
Topics of
Topics
the
of the
week.
week. A-Dub, we are back. Would you like to lead us off with our quick hit?
Yes.
Yes.
Not too long after Vampire Survivors finally made its ceremonious debut on the
Yes.
PlayStation platform, we've just received news that Vampire Survivors is getting a big Castlevania DLC with 20 characters and 40 weapons just in time for Halloween. The tweet from the Vampire Survivors X account states as follows: "The new Vampire Survivors DLC, no one expected, Ode to Castlevania, is coming October 31st to all platforms." Forms. Our biggest DLC to date. There's so much content, you're guaranteed at least another 10 hours of gameplay, 20 characters, 40 weapons, one massive stage, plus more. AMC, have you gotten into Vampire Survivors? And if not, will you be getting into Vampire Survivors so you can eventually enjoy this additional content?
The game looks great. I mean, and it's at a price point where it's basically like, come on, man. It's chump change. It's $4. Like you could buy some
Yeah,
fries for
just
the
send your
price
kid
of
to school hungry one day.
this game. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the prices would like. There's no reason from a price point perspective why I haven't hopped into this game. I just haven't found the time for it. I'm glad, what I will say from my perspective, that. I believe around Halloween, also saw that V Rising was also getting Castlevania content for Halloween,
Yes.
and this seems to also be lining up with Halloween, with Vampire Survivors getting Castlevania content. So I mean, it's all just it's all just messaging, or sending a message to, at least to Konami, like, hey, there's a lot of love and care and affection for Castlevania, and so we would love for you to get Bloober Team or some studio on this franchise ASAP, and to bring it into a modern day sensibility. Or if not, even you could do what Nintendo did, that Metroid game that was like in the 2D, old school 2D perspective, when it was still awesome.
Metroid Dread.
Yeah, Metroid Dread, I actually own it. And it was a fantastic game. So I mean, they could do that. They could do just not a remake, but I played, was it Castlevania Symphony of the Night somewhat recently? I think it was like a year or two ago, for the first time. And that game was still phenomenal. I believe it's a PlayStation 1 game. It still held up just as strong as the day it came out. Like, well, all the people have been telling me
Well,
for
damn.
years, one of the greatest games of all time. It was still that and then some. And so even getting a remake of Symphony of the Night, if you want to do something easy like that, or just building on that world but still holding on to the traditional Metroidvania 2D viewpoint, they could definitely get a lot of fanfare there. Or just modern day third person style action. You can go any perspective, but there is a demand for a Castlevania game. The Netflix show was well received. I loved at least the first part of it. I haven't gotten to the recent, I guess, Rondo perspective. But
I
yeah, I
was
loved
feeling
what
it.
they
I need to go back for the story.
Yeah, and so there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of fanfare around Castlevania right now, so it would be a opportune time to capitalize on that. And so hopefully we will be getting that sometime soon.
Indeed. So no Vampire Survivors for you, boy.
No, not as of right now. I'm neat. I got Diablo a dub. Like, Diablo is just taking over my life, but maybe in the future I will be getting down with some Vampire Survivors.
But see, like you say, you don't have time, but Vampire Survivors is that kind of game you can fit in anytime because the runs are so short. They're usually like anywhere from like 10 to 12 minutes, depending on your skill level, until you like get real deep in it, and then you can get up to 30 minutes. But you know, your runs are always cut short. You're always making some kind of progress, or at least it feels that way. I don't know, man. I think it would fit nicely in a lifestyle where, you know, sometimes you only have short breaks, and in that break, you want to feel like you got something done.
All right, I like that recommendation. I'll take that into account. Maybe if it's on the Switch, that might be an ideal situation, especially for that pick up and go. Every now and then I just have, if I'm working from home, I don't have the PlayStation where I work, like I guess at my desk. And so every now and then I'll have that Switch next to me if I have like some free time. So that would be a good, I got a couple minutes, hop on, do that Vampire Survivor, get it cracking.
I mean, I'm seeing a Switch logo here on the game's page.
All right. Well, and it's only like $5, so there's no reason that's not holding me back at all.
You got any quick
Let's,
hits?
yeah, I got one here. This is an exciting one for me. This is a Kotaku. I don't often pull stuff from Kotaku, but let's see. Ubisoft confirms it's exploring new Rayman ideas amid report of a remake. Let's see. The original Rayman is the game that put Ubisoft on the map. It's been over a decade since the last installment in the colorful platformer franchise, but the French publisher is currently in the early stages of exploring what will come next for the series titular Limbless Hero. He has a hand, but it's like a floating hand. So
Yeah, and feet, but they're floating feet.
Let's see. So this is from Ubisoft. We're pleased to confirm Ubisoft Montpellier. Whatever, and Ubisoft Milan have recently started an exploration phase on the Rayman brand. A spokesperson for Ubisoft told Kotaku in an email. They responded to an email. Often you see these things, it's like we reached out, no response. But they actually responded to email to say that we got some shit going on. The project is still in its early stages, and we will share more details later. While a new now this is a Kotaku again. While a new Rayman might not be ready for some time, the upcoming project seems to be more than just an exploration at this point. I am excited about this A-dub. One of the OG girlfriend games was Rayman Legends. So good, just a great platformer. It also had this like rhythm style. Every now and then there'd be these boss battles, and it would play to a song what was it? Ram, I think it's Ram Jam, Black Betty. Whoa, Black Betty, Bam Lamb. Like there's a level where you're literally running and like it's like every time like Black Betty had a stop, Bam Bam Lamb at the bam, that's like when you're jumping. So it was like a time-based thing that synchronized with the music that was playing in the background as you're like platforming through the level. And I believe these are only in the boss battles, but that it was definitely something that stuck with me while playing Rayman Legends. So if we get something like that going on with Rayman, with whatever they plan to do with either this remake or this new game, that would be great. But yeah, just overall, Rayman is one of the all-time like just S-tier platformers. Like it had one great platforming, two great multiplayer platforming, and on top of that, it what you weren't jumping on enemies, you're like you're socking them up. So it was like like a combination of like platforming and brawling, which I absolutely loved. And man, as I said, it's been a decade and it's one of Ubisoft's great franchises. I would love to see Rayman come back in, this 4K ray tracing DLSS PSSR world that we have coming to us. And so yeah, if I can get that going on, that would be amazing. Just to relive that girlfriend game experience. That was absolutely awesome. So I'm excited about this. Have you played any Rayman Legend or Rayman games in the past?
I have played Rayman in the past. I believe I played the original Rayman.
Okay.
And I gotta tell the truth, AMC.
You're an outlet.
I gotta lay it out the way that it is. Never liked Raymond. Was never into it. I
Oh,
didn't like the character design. I didn't like that he didn't have limbs. I was
yeah.
like, what are we doing here? What are we really doing here? Like, to his credit, he was literally throwing hands at his enemies and naysayers. That was awesome. And the graphics were always clean. I forget when I played it. I just remember there was like a jungle sequence and I was running from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. I wasn't doing too well. I wasn't feeling the game anyway. I was like, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
good. But no disrespect, I've heard great things about Legends. I believe I've seen video of gameplay and it does look like it's worthy of the praise. So, if they can recapture that magic, perhaps stand on the shoulders of it and reach a higher vantage point with whatever they plan to do with Rayman, I would definitely pay attention and, maybe give it another shot. It might be another Hollow Knight kind of situation where maybe I need to put more into it than just a solid 30 minutes before coming away with a final opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Rayman Legends was the awesome one. I will say I didn't play the original Rayman, so maybe there was just a an evolution of that franchise which got it to Rayman Legends, and that's the point where I jumped in where it was just on another level. But yeah, I am looking forward to them bringing something back in that universe because it was it's one of those games that Marissa and I every now and then we'll just reminisce on and just be like, damn, Rayman Legends, it was just so damn good. Like the other one, Guacamelee, that's like one of those ones we
Yes.
always go back to. But Rayman Legends was like just on another level. So I would love to just see that come back. Do you have any other quick hits, A-Dub, before we get out of here?
Another quick hit because it's only customary to cover this news whenever it comes out because we here at Control Issues, we like our people's champs. We like our hero's tales. So whenever No Man's Sky comes out the cut with yet another free update, we gotta let y'all know about it. So they've recently just put out The Cursed. And let me get to the blurb. Players must protect themselves against the weakening of the boundaries of reality. The exosuit's usual hazard protection has been replaced with a specialized anomaly suppressor. Maintaining this is the key to surviving while the universe begins to break down around you. As players struggle to navigate these haunted worlds, they may come face to face with the ghostly beings that drift across the boundaries. Sometimes these spectral anomalies merely observe, and sometimes they can turn much more hostile. These encounters provide players with new challenging enemies and boss battles at a scale not seen before in No Man's Sky. Travelers will not have access to hyperdrive technology, meaning no warping between star systems. Instead, interstellar travel requires careful planning and use of the ancient portal network. Haunting voices leak through from another dimension, providing guidance, information, strange blueprints, and mystery. Players will have to decide who these voices belong to, where they're coming from, and if they are to be trusted. So this also has like a Cthulhu kind of mask that you can earn and equip. They got a H.R. Geiger kind of Prometheus looking alien ship that you're going to be piloting. There's a lot going on. No Man's Sky, it looks awesome. Continues to get new content, continues to blossom into something beyond even its wildest dreams when it was initially revealed like more than 6 years ago. AMC, as I always ask whenever we break this kind of news, 16th free update.
I
Is
know.
this the time when your man AFC gets back in the mix?
Nah, unfortunately not. That is not the case. But I like what I'm hearing, A-Dub. They keep it coming. They have at this point they have curb stomped the naysayers. They just anytime they show up, it's always to, great appreciation that they're just still finding ways to just bring more to this game that people have come to love, and the people who hate on it can't say jack shit anymore, eh, Dev? Because your boy Sean Murray is out here letting y'all know We never gave up, and we will never give up. Can't stop, and I'm not going to say the second part of that. So, that's all I got there, A-Dub. Do you have anything else before we get out of here?
Can't stop, might be stopped.
Yeah, eventually stopped.
Put to an end at long last. Damn. We'll keep workshopping that. But no, man, I'm all out of topics.
right. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
Control Issues. Thanks for playing.